With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It is the balance. It's that you can't have, it can't be uneven for too long in any one direction or you just lose it. And that's why we run.
That's why we run. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And I'm John Bray.
John R. Bray.
John R. Bray.
Mm-hmm. This is a Mormons. you're not Mormon, but that's how we do it. That's how we Mormons do it.
You got to add that in?
You got to add in the middle initial.
Bring it on. I'm sorry. And I'm John R. Bray.
This week, I get to complain about moving my body, I guess.
And while you're complaining about it, I get to say that exercising is really the only bit of free time that I feel like I get in a day.
That's a really privileged thing to say, actually.
I know.
We want to talk about what it's like to have a workout regimen when you have a full-time job and you take care of your kids all by yourself. What is it? How do you fit in working out or running or cycling or swimming? And the reason I really want to talk about this right now is that I am training to run the Boston Marathon. I did not qualify, no. I'm very quick to point that out when anyone is like, oh my God, you must be fast.
You didn't qualify for it?
No, I did not qualify for it. I am guiding a runner who happens to be visually impaired. I'm working with an organization called Team with a Vision, and I am attempting to fit in runs around my children.
Attempting.
Yes.
Yes, because it's basically impossible. I'm not running the Boston Marathon, but this is extremely relevant to me because, for one, running is the only thing that gets me out and moving. Because I sit a lot, you know, and you do too.
I do.
And it's honestly one of the main things that kind of have kept me sane through all of last year. A way to sort of clear my head and reflect.
Oh, that's right. Last year happened.
Last year did happen. A friend of mine refers to 2015 as the Dark Ages for me. And I think it works. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Because you started running. When did you start running?
Wow, I started running in March of last year.
Oh, so we're right in the middle of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, basically when all of this was happening, the few people that knew about it kept saying, you know, you should really journal. You should really journal your emotions and get your... right, which... A, I've never been a journaler, but B, I think when you write for a living, journaling and writing kind of, it loses that therapeutic quality.
Right. I mean, I understand that sentiment, but saying it, you should journal.
Right. Like, you should journal to, you know, clear your thoughts and get things off your chest. I'm like, no, I'm not going to journal. I don't journal. I don't. And when you write all day, the last thing you want to do is write. And I think I mentioned that to you at one point, and you said you should run. And I've never run. I hated the idea of running. It terrified me. But eventually I decided, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I've been running, you know, three or four times a week since March of last year, because
it's amazing.
I remember
the first few times you did it, you would text me and you were like, this sucks.
Oh, it was awful. It took me at least probably 6 months before I could say that I enjoyed running.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken me a really long time, a really, really, really long time to grow to like it. I mean, and it was a really horrible, horrible relationship with running until, I don't know, probably it took about a year at least. Yeah.
Right. But there's stages though, right? I guess for me, you know, it took about 6 months before I could say, okay, I went for a run and now I like how I feel. afterward I would feel great. But I still hated getting my shoes on, tying them, and every single step I took. I hated it.
Right.
And I didn't clear that hurdle until probably within the last month, like February of this year.
And do you think that it helped with the Dark Ages?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the only really physical activity that I did. I mean, I don't play team sports. I used to bike, but I stopped that. And I think it helped me just get out. And even though I spent a lot of my time thinking about everything that was going on, it didn't feel like I was constricted by it, like I was, you know, consumed by it. I was just able to be out and you know, blowing off steam, I guess, for lack of better expression. Mm-hmm. It was everything. There were times where I would run probably 6 days a week.
Really?
Just because that's how much it helped. So I would get back to my basement apartment and I would just run just to take my mind off of the events of the day.
So it's an important part of your life.
It's a huge part of my life. I can't imagine stopping it now.
Right.
It would leave me feeling unbelievably restless.
Well, and there's every scientific study that talks about your health, I mean, pretty much includes getting up and moving around.
Right.
Because people, I mean, and I've had people say to me, you know, you're spending too much time working out. And I'm not going to mention the person that said that to me, but I was really upset about it. And I wanted to say, kind of like the Incredible Hulk, you know, you don't like me when I'm angry.
Right.
Like, you're not going to like me if I haven't gotten my workout in. Like, that's a kind of a, it's actually part of the prescription for my depression. It's a prescription for the anxiety that, like, it completely helps me, you know, deal with that part of, you know, my mental health.
It's critical to maintaining, like, a level, stable sense, I think. Mm-hmm.
It's also really important for my Fitbit and trying to beat my mom.
Which is really what it all comes down to in the end. But it's honestly exactly what you said. Like
the panic of like, oh my gosh, do I have my Fitbit on? Because if I'm going to do 12 miles, holy God, that Fitbit had better be on my goddamn body.
Well, the thing that frustrates me though, I don't have a Fitbit, so I don't get to compete with you or your mom, but when I run, I have fairly big strides. So I'll go out and I'll run 8 miles and then I look at my steps and they're so low. And I feel like I just wasted, like, come on, there's got to have been like 4,000 more than that or something. I'm just so damn fast that it, you know.
How tall are you?
I'm just 6 foot, 6'1", something like that.
So when do you run?
Whenever I can manage to fit it in. I try to be as consistent as possible. During the week, I try to do it around 2 o'clock because I'll work through my lunch and then run, and then I have to pick Lexton up. So I try to do it at 2. On the weekends, sometimes I will go earlier. But, you know, the people that wake up at, you know, 4, 4:30 that hit the gym, I can't do that because I can't leave. I guess I could, but I'd feel really, really nervous leaving him here asleep, right, alone.
Which is my problem as well. I mean, I would love to be able to get up at 4:30 or 5 and get the workout done before the day, but it's just, I can't. I have 2 children that I have to be here for. And then that also affects the training, the marathon training, the long runs, because I can't do the long runs on the weekends because I have my kids, unless I pay somebody to come watch them. So I do my long runs on Fridays, which means that there's a chunk of time, there's, you know, a huge chunk of my day that I should be working that I'm dedicating to running.
Well, I mean, you should be working, but if you don't run, the results are going to be very poor anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to get in long runs. Like, I have to, like, tomorrow my long run is 12, and then the next week my long run is 18.
That's the longest thus far for the training, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's really, really difficult to, I mean, just for anybody to fit into their schedule, but especially, and I was really panicked last week. because Marla was sick. That's just a running theme.
Again.
This is called the Kids Are Sick podcast. I was really nervous because I did a 16-mile run, and that was the longest in the training so far. And Marlo had the flu. And I was really worried that she was going to wake up in the middle of the night and I was going to be up all night long and have to run 16 miles on no sleep. And luckily, my babysitter was able to come and watch her so that I could get the long run in. But like, there was a panic of, am I going to get to sleep before I go and do these things? Are they going to be so sick that I can't leave? It's a stumbling block when it comes to trying to do this kind of training. And even like I my other workouts, I have to get done while they're at school because it's just me. And so it's very difficult to fit in all of the work that I have to get done and working out so that I stay sane and taking care of my kids.
Yeah. And it's so multifaceted. Right. Like, I mean, you hear of these people who run marathons and they only trained for a week or they've never run one and they didn't do anything. And that's fine. You know, people do that. Right. But that's not what you want to do. That's not what's right for your body, et cetera. So you need to get these long runs in because that's part of the training to be able to perform in this marathon the way that you want, to be a good guide, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. Well, they actually emphasize in all the literature that they have sent me, you know, The short runs during the week are good, but the most important thing is the long run. And it's just like this, it's this thing that stares me down at the end of the week. It's like, am I going to get the long run in and planning the route, and or am I going to have to do it on the treadmill because the air quality is so bad in Salt Lake that it's dangerous to run outside. So
is it really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Apparently when I was in New Zealand, and honestly, so I was in New Zealand for a couple of weeks speaking at a conference, and those are the best runs I've had so far because it was outside along a waterfront. I didn't have my kids there, so I was able to get up, you know, at 5:30 in the morning and get out. That's the best time of day for me to run. And I ran, like, I did a 10-mile, a 7-mile, a 5-mile, and then a 15-miler. And it was incredible. It was awesome. And while I was there, everybody in Salt Lake was like, thank God you're not here, because apparently the inversion was so bad. You could not see like 20 feet in front of you.
Wow.
Like that's how bad it was. So that's another thing I got going for me here.
As if there weren't enough hurdles to begin with.
So you want to run a marathon. Let's see what we can just throw in your face.
Yeah, I knew you were a treadmill runner, and I'm not. I never have been. I get bored. But that in itself, I think not running on a treadmill, air quality aside, is its own challenge. Because, yeah. Well, for one, you have to plan the route, which Google Maps, that's what I use at least. It does make it easy, but it takes time. You have to plan the route. I could not navigate my way out of a paper bag, so usually I forget the route in my own city. Seriously, I don't know what's up with me. But it's also, I mean, I live in the Midwest, and, you know, it's just now starting to warm up, but there were days where I would run in the blizzard. So you're kind of running on snow, you're running on ice. I would come home and my face is like half frozen, but there's no other option.
Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
that tells you how necessary it is for mental stability. Why else would you? I mean, I do feel really good after a run, but sometimes I go out and it's 15 degrees and 20 mile an hour winds. And those first couple miles are absolutely awful.
The first couple of miles always are awful.
Okay, they're always awful, but
always.
In the cold,
standard,
though.
Standard of, in every run, the first 2 miles just suck. They just do. And then, yeah, my accent is really bad. I hit mile six. But usually, like, when I'm on a long run, like, I hit mile.
There it is again. This is great.
I hit mile six, and that's when the runner's high hits. And I'm like, oh, I get it. And I'm sure people are watching me, and I'm like some cartoon character skipping at that point. But like, so because it's so time consuming, like I mean, I don't take a lunch break ever. And people are like, let's go get lunch together. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I have to go run. That's, you know, that's my lunch break. That's it. and I don't do coffee breaks. If I'm on a conference call, I'm walking around the room.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Yeah, I pace all the time, which makes it hard to take notes.
But I mean, and I know not having a lunch break is like so many people don't have lunch breaks, but it's just another one of those things that of trying to get people to understand. Like, I think we've talked about this. Like, I feel like a bad friend, and people want to see me during the week, and I want to see people, and I want to give as much as I possibly can, but I don't have the time. I have to train, so I can't give up the run.
Right, you can't sacrifice it, but it's not even, you know, I will make something at home and eat and check emails, right? But you know that when you go out with a friend, even if you could say, yeah, sure, I can spare a half an hour today, I'm going to make time for that. It's not a half an hour. It's an hour or an hour and a half, and it's fine. I'm not complaining about those lunches or those conversations. But for me, at least, there's always that voice in the back of my head that's like, okay, how are you going to make this up? You know you're going to pay. Every minute, you're going to pay.
My babysitter yesterday, she was like, have you seen that image going around? It's a cartoon image, I think, of a guy standing talking to someone and he's got a knife behind his back. And it's like when you're in a hurry and the person won't stop talking to you. And it's like there are so many times, and I feel terrible about this. It's like I gotta go to a training run, right? Or I've got to go get on a conference call, and I will walk into like school with my head down, not like, looking at my feet, not making eye contact. I feel terrible.
Even though you know that's not going to work anyway. I mean, someone is going to stop you. You have to get it to the point where you can just open the doors and the car is still moving. And they just get out and you go.
And like, I can hear any life coach who is listening to this is like, you guys have got to change the way you live. This is not okay.
But you pick... I mean, you find something that works, right? A way to live that lets you survive. For me, it's like as long as I can maintain the midline, if I don't go much above it, you know what? I'm not going to complain. If I can maintain this consistent rhythm and path, I'm okay. Maybe right. There's a change that would make it better. But I also know that the days or weeks or months that would take to implement that change would be just painful.
Well, I will say that, you know, I did work with a life coach for about 18 months. Really, really amazing investment in my time and money. And one of the major things that we worked on was me being able to say, you know, to ease up on myself. And I will say, just in relation to running, even, I was running half marathon in Africa, in Tanzania. And it was 6 miles. The first 6 miles were straight uphill. Uphill.
Oh, I hate hills.
It was uphill so much, it was almost like climbing a ladder. Like, people were using their hands to get up the hill.
What?
I'm not kidding.
And that's in the first six? So that's before you're even really into it.
Yes. Ugh. Then the next 3 miles are straight downhill. And then the last four are a little bit uphill. And that's when the sun came out, and it was like 98 degrees, 170,000% humidity, and I just completely hit a wall, like bonked. And I, for the first time in my life, she had worked with me really hard, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to walk. And I never would have let myself walk before. And I was like, I'm going to walk one song, and I'm going to run one song. And somehow, I don't know how I made it to the finish line, but I did. But I remember thinking in that moment that, oh, she would be so proud of me. I'm walking.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's a part of me, I really, really love the flexibility that I have. And the flexibility allows me to run and allows me to work out.
During the day.
But during the day. But there's a part of me that thinks if I had a desk job and I went to work and I was there, would life be better? You know, I think about the years that I worked in Los Angeles and I had a stupid long commute, like an hour and a half in my car each way. And I would get up before work and I would go work out before work. And then I would have an 8-hour day, 9-hour day, 10-hour day. And then drive home, but like I got so much work done, and then I left the job, and those were some of the happiest years of my life.
I mean, I see the go, mom, look at that. What? No, I know what you mean.
I love my kids, but like that I think was so easy. You know what I mean? It was so easy. I look back on it, and at the time, I was like, oh, this is a pretty hard slog, but it was so easy. It was easy.
Well, but I think there's two factors, though. Like, you didn't have kids, so even if you had worked for yourself out of your house or apartment, it would have also been easy because you could have gotten up early to run, you could have run in the evening, you could have done whatever. So that's a piece of it. I mean, when there aren't children, when you aren't responsible for another life form, it's automatically easier. But I think the other catch is now so many jobs, you don't work 8 or 9 or 10 hours and go home and be done. We've got smartphones and you've got email. And I mean, before I left my job, there would be meetings with China at 9 or 10 o'clock at night because they're, you know, 12 or 14 hours ahead. So even right. Then, even going into the office every day, it still didn't end. Like I didn't have, I guess maybe I had some freedom that I don't now. Like in some different areas, but I have way more freedom now than I ever did then.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying is like the flexibility now is so much more than I had then, and I like that because of my children. But like, I think about how my life was so separated from my job, and now my life is so consumed with my job.
Sure.
And because the line is so blurred, that has added an element to my life that is, it's a weird reality and it's hard. And it's, you know, I do think back fondly and reminisce about those years when I had a desk job.
Which is frightening to think about, right? Because no one really wants a desk job. No one graduates. I'm like, oh, thank God, a desk job. Bring it on. Let's do this.
But even like an hour and a half commute, I had an hour and a half to listen to music and I didn't have to check email. I didn't have to look at Twitter. I didn't have to check Facebook comments. I was in my car driving, listening to music. Like, how indulgent is that?
Well, I think this is almost like a much bigger discussion on the difference between ease and flexibility, right?
Right.
To a certain point. And I mean, here's our spiral. It's like maybe back then things were easier, but when you really look at it, they were a lot less flexible. now there's a lot more flexibility, but it's almost harder. Like, because there's more flexibility, there are more balls in the air to juggle.
Right. Well, even then, like I said, I would get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I would drive out to a set of stairs in Santa Monica, and I would run those stairs for 45 minutes, and then I'd drive home. I mean, that's how I got my workouts in. And
you were a stair runner?
Oh man, it was amazing. It was so good. It was the best. Some of the best shape I've ever been in. And and the flexibility there was that I didn't have kids, you know?
Right. You could just get up and go.
I could just get up and go. And so now, last week when I did my 16-mile run, I was so afraid that I was going to get a call in the middle of the run from my babysitter or from Lita, like she's sick or somebody needs to come and get her. And well, I'm 8 miles out, right? I'll be there in an hour and a half.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's what's, you know, I used to think about that when you were still running on the treadmill, is at least then if there's truly a major crisis and you have to stop your run, you get off the treadmill, you get in the car, you go home. But mm-hmm. when you run just out, you know, it's not like there's a faster way to get home. Not like I can sprint home for the last 5 miles.
Right.
You know, so it's really just, well, unless you can come get me, you got to wait. And
hey, 12-year-old, get into the car.
Right, hop in the car. You come get me. I'll drive home. But that's, I mean, I know every time that I go, because, you know, every other weekend, Lexton is with me. And every time that I go on a run, I make sure that I'm like, do you have everything you need? Are you okay? Do you have your phone? Just because I don't know. But at the same time, as soon as I shut the door, I know that it doesn't matter. Because
right.
once I'm that many miles away, I can't get home any faster. And that always freaks me out. But there's no way around it. There's no real solution to it. I guess, yes, if you run on a treadmill, then you do have that added flexibility. But I don't know. There's no way.
Well, there was one weekend that I did a long run on a Saturday because my kids were with they were at a sleepover. And that was the weekend that Lita got sick and called me when I was on the treadmill.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hold your puke for another 3 miles. I'll be there in just a second. You know, and so even like the only person that I like if I can drop them off with my mom, that is the only person actually that I feel like, okay, if anything happens, I'm going to be okay doing what I'm doing, knowing that I'm not going to get a call in the middle of it. Because otherwise I feel like, I don't know, there's something about the stability, there's something with my mom. She's the only person that I can leave my kids with. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get a phone call. So even if I leave them with friends, and it's not that I don't trust my friends or that I think it's just that for some reason my kids think it's okay when they're with someone other than my mom to go, well, it's not, I can still bother my mom, right? I don't care if she's running. I'm going to give her a call anyway. Right?
Well, exactly. But I think with your, you know, with your mom, with grandparents, you know, and especially when they have a really close relationship, they're like next level parents. So they know, like they know if they asked you if they could call you on a run, you'd say no. They know if they're with your mom and they want to call you when you're on a run, she's going to say no.
Well, and my mom, right. And my mom is basically, you know, she's standing in for me. And this is what I talk about all the time with people who are like, well, you know, would you ever consider leaving Utah? Why are you there? Why do you stay in Utah? And it's like, you don't understand. She is my support network. Like she is, I could not do this without her. There's no way that I can leave. I say that and then I'm going to move. And then people are going to go, well, you said that. but that's always my answer. And I mean, yes, I love Utah and my kids' friends are here. But really, it comes down to the fact that my mom lives here. That's why I'm here.
Right. It's the support because it's just you. I mean, yes, you could move. You could move to another country and you would be okay and you'd find a way to make it work. But when it's just you, you know, when, like we've said, when there's no one to elbow in the middle of the night, it's nice to know that there is someone there who's so capable of helping, someone that you trust without question.
Right.
You know, I mean, for me, my my family isn't close. Fortunately, you know, Heather's parents are very close and very supportive, and we have a great relationship. And I can't imagine not having that. You know, with the number of with the number of days they get off from school, I rely on them so heavily. Like every week is like a 3 or 4 day week.
Oh my gosh, they have a, that's right. They're off. They're you just reminded me. They don't have school tomorrow. Why?
They don't have school tomorrow either?
No.
Yeah.
What is going
like,
on?
I don't know. I just realized that on Tuesday. I don't know what is happening. But every week, like he'll come home, he's like, "Oh, I'm off Monday." I'm like, "What? Why are you off Monday? I'm not off Monday."
Like, I want to march down and I just want to walk into the principal's office or the district office and like, do you understand? Why are you doing this? Why are my kids not learning?
I remember like having a Monday or a Friday off was amazing. I mean, you looked forward to it. Like, I remember looking at the school calendar and knowing like, we got three. Awesome. I think it was 1 year where he started, and I think it was the first 5 or 6 weeks, and none of them were 5 day weeks. They had
right.
half days or a Monday off or a Friday off. I'm like, how do you even adjust to a 5 day week?
Well, and last week, just last week, was parent teacher conferences. So that was 3 half days.
Oh, those
three
are the
half
word.
Days.
Yeah.
What do you mean 3 half days? What do you mean?
Because it's still the same. Like, you still have to get them up and pack the back, like, get them out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't save you any time. And then you lose the afternoon.
Completely gone.
Right.
Destroyed.
Right. All it really saves you is you don't have to pack a lunch. Ultimately,
and,
you know.
And then you like I can't plan for, like I mean then I had to go back to their school and then
and
I have to
land.
Go to the parent teacher conference.
So the whole day is and they're probably on separate days, right?
Well, I made sure that I had them like right back to back. Like I strategize so hard now in terms of like trying to manage my days just so that I can get. Like all I want really is like a 4 hour block of time to sit down and do creative work. What I would give for 4 hours of like uninterrupted time to do, to write, to like update deuce.com, right? What I would give for that.
Do you still write over there?
I didn't retire. Well, that's the thing though, is that I can't even emphasize it or describe it enough. I don't remember the last time I had 4 hours to write. I don't. Because, again,
on a plane,
like,
that's when it is.
It's on a plane.
It's when you're confined, like when there's nothing else to do.
There's nothing I hate worse, though, than breaking out my laptop in that small of a space when I'm already don't fit in the seat. Do you know what I mean?
I know that so well. I can barely get it out of my bag. Without like laying in my seatmate's lap, like hang on, let me put my head in your lap while I reach my laptop. That's just it's awkward, okay. But I think the weird thing is, I mean, with me, I think I probably have more of a freelance style, you know, job at the moment, and it ebbs and flows. And the weird thing is when I'm completely swamped. That's when I crave the creative time, right? Like mm-hmm. I need it. But then when I'm not swamped, it's like the creativity doesn't want to be there anymore. So there needs to be a way to build it in around being busy because you need to balance it out.
Right.
And I think it's ultimately when it comes down to any of this, whether it's creative writing or running or whatever, it is the balance. It's that you can't have, it can't be uneven for too long in any one direction or you just lose it. And that's why we run.
That's why we run. It does. I do like, just like you were talking about earlier, as much as these longer runs kind of, they're a little intimidating to someone like me who's not a seasoned runner. And I get a little anxious before each of them. But last week, If you guys can hear my stomach growling, sorry about that. I run a lot, and so I get very, very hungry. Very hungry. We should need to talk about that in just a second. But last week, there's so much was going on, and I was trying to work through my head, like how I was going to manage all these projects that I've got going on. And I was like, I cannot wait to get on that run and get like 15 minutes in, and it's me time. Like, I am alone. I'm solitary. I have got no one around me. And I was so looking forward to that zen. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's what I meant by free time. Like, it's mm-hmm. a time that you schedule and, you know, you build it in, and it's not really free time, but it is time to just be with yourself. It's like the only time of the day where I actually feel alone. Even though I work alone, you're always working on projects or deadlines or contracts or sending email or on the phone. But when I run, it's just me. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially if you run with music, which I've just recently started doing, it's like your own world.
You just recently started doing that?
I don't like having the earbuds in. I don't know why. It freaks me out. Like, I'm not going to hear something, and then all of a sudden I'm going to get run over, even though I don't run on the street. And the couple times that I tried it, I think I just need a better playlist, because I would listen to something and run way faster than I needed to run, and, you know, for the first mile, and then I just feel miserable.
Oh, you have to be really careful with that. I actually hurt myself to a Rihanna song. I did. There are three. Oh, okay.
I actually hurt myself to a Rihanna song. Okay.
I did. I was in the middle of a half marathon in St. George, Utah, down in Moab. Was it Moab? Yeah.
Was this last year?
No, this was in 2011.
Okay.
And I was already kind of injured because I was training for the New York Marathon and I only had 2 months. And so I had worked up to that mileage way too quickly. And I was in the middle of this half marathon and I was feeling so good. Like, it was like mile 7, 8. And the runner's high had hit me. And then that Rihanna song, We Found Love in a Hopeless Place, that one.
Yeah.
It came on and like...
You just took off?
I was like, I'm going to run so fast. And like, it was a completely involuntary reaction. And I took off and came down on my foot wrong.
Oh.
And fractured my foot at mile 9 and had to run and finish the race on that foot.
So you got injured like right on the first step into that boost? You didn't even actually get to take advantage of Rihanna?
No.
Wow.
You have to be really careful about all that. There's three songs on my playlist that are good for like motivating me to get to the end of like a run, but I got to make sure that they're not in the middle.
Well, it has to be strategic. It has to be strategic, and I just haven't had the time to do that. So usually I just end up throwing songs or albums onto a list and shuffling it.
Well, yeah, and, that's what I do.
You know, I mean, it works, but
I tried running listening to a podcast.
Sorry to anyone who's doing that right now.
Don't do it.
Didn't work?
No, it did not work at all. No. Mm-mm. It was on a treadmill. I think that's what the problem was. I was like, okay, no, this is...
Oh, no, that would... Yeah, I mean, especially if you're on a treadmill, you have no scenery change.
Right.
You have to have something. I have a friend who listens to, like, I think sports radio, like sports talk radio while he runs, which I could never even, I wouldn't even want to leave my house if that was on. So I just couldn't do it.
Does Lexton run at all?
He is built to run, I think. He is like 5'1 and maybe 70 pounds. I mean, he's all arms and legs. But the coordination piece, well, I think it's twofold, right? The coordination piece isn't quite there because you need to find your rhythm. I mean, the coordination piece wasn't there for me when I started either, and I probably still look like an idiot. But it's coordination, and then it's still, I mean, he's 12, and this, when he thinks I'm going to run, that's like, I'm going to run at 120% for 30 seconds, and then I'm done, like, for the day, right? So there's the discipline isn't there, but he's sort of expressed an interest in running with me. So there's
nice.
Yeah, I mean, I was really excited when he said it, and I found there's a school nearby that has a track, a nice track. So we just tried it a week or two ago, and you know, I would do several laps around the track, and then I would slow down for a lap, and he would run. But it's, you know, the whole time that we're doing it, it's like, okay, no, you don't need to go full speed. You don't need to match my speed. I'm slowing down. You know, you know, hold your arms up. Don't, I mean, you don't run like kind of all floppy like that. You're not going to like that. But the fact that he's interested is huge. I mean, it took a while, but I mean, he sees me going out. He hears me talk about it. He knows that I enjoy it. There's some days where, you know, maybe I'm busy and I don't think I have time, or he's got something, so I don't want to leave. And he will encourage me to go.
Really?
Or he'll say, you know, you need to go. You're going to be so mad if you don't go.
I don't like you when you're angry.
I ultimately think that's what it is. Like, please go, because I don't want to be around you in 2 hours if you don't. But I think it's, I mean, that's certainly not positive. But I think in general, it's positive, right? Because he sees how important it is.
That's better than Lita's reaction. She's like, no. She's like, oh, you're going to go do your run, huh? You're a runner, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
That's
like,
so awesome.
She's merciless. I get home from a run and I'll be really sore. She's like, oh, how many miles did you do? 16? Wow. Long way, Mom.
So she has like no interest in joining.
Oh, so we live up a hill, basically. And which makes it leaving from my house to go on a run is awful, because ending the run is straight uphill to get home. So usually if I'm running outside, I drive somewhere to run, because literally it's straight uphill to get to our house.
For like the last, and, what, quarter mile?
At least mile.
Oh,
it's like
wow.
A mile.
Okay.
A mile. And so going to her school's down the street, or, you know, and it's all downhill. And when Marlo's been sick for, well, she's finally not sick anymore, but she was sick for almost 3 weeks. And there were a few days there where Lita had to walk home.
Uphill?
Yes. Oh. She really, like, she gets to tell that story when she's older. You know, and later in the day, like, she was sitting on the couch and she had this look on her face. And I was like, what's wrong? And she's just like, I'm just so sore from walking home.
Oh, how far did you walk, Lita? 1 mile? It's so far.
So far. And I did. There was one day I was like, I stood in front of her. I was like, come run 16 miles with me, hun. She does get to say that when she's older, that she had to walk straight uphill from school.
For a whole mile.
For a whole mile. It's not even a whole mile. But yeah, but no, what I'm saying is, like, it's a basic, you have to go for a very, very, very long way from here for it not to be straight uphill coming home. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, the first part of my run is not uphill, but it's along a state highway, not like an interstate, but just a really busy road. And I hate it. And it makes running on the snow and ice extra exciting. But I still don't know how you do the 16 mile. I mean, my longest run is like 8.5. And I felt fine, but thinking about it, I think what it is for me, which I know you can relate to, is I'm like, okay, 16 miles. Oh, that's so much time.
Like,
I don't even fear the exercise or the soreness. Like, I know that will be a part of it, but my fear is the time. Like, okay, if I take that much time out to stretch and then run 16 miles and then shower, I don't know how I'm going to make that up. Like, I know I'm going to have to get to that point. I want to do the longer runs, but I think it really says something.
Is the problem.
Right. But I think that really says something about kind of the day-to-day realities of working full-time as a single parent. When you don't dread the actual running part of 16 miles, you dread the loss of time. That's the real killer.
Yeah. That is our most precious commodity, isn't it?
Always.
Always.
Always. And you just have to pick, which part of the day gets dropped, you know?
Yeah.
And like we said, probably in episode one, you can't bend time or compress time with kids. It doesn't happen.
No. And you know, I have been working out with a trainer since 2010. I work out with her twice a week. And it's cross training, it's weight training, you know, and
like at a gym, like anything not running.
At a
running.
Gym. Okay. Right. And she's I call her my bishop because she is my it's my religion because and again, like when I don't go during the week, you know, I'm not in a good mood. I didn't get my workout in and I don't feel well, but again, a person in my life is just like, you know, you really need to give that up because that's an hour out of your day. But I feel like at some point my kids are going to see me investing this time in my health and that will be a positive influence on them. Hopefully.
But I think even, you know, even though Lita maybe gives you a hard time about it, I'm sure that, you know, in the back of her mind, she's able to reason that it's positive, right?
Right.
I mean, it has to be. I can't see it. I can't see it any other way. And I think, you know, whoever said that to you, I mean, yeah, it's an hour. You said you go twice a week?
Yeah.
So it's 2 hours a week. But I feel like there has to be some sort of fancy mathematical equation to look at, you know, if you don't go, how your productivity drops or how other things are impacted. So you end up ultimately losing more time if you don't set aside the time to go to the gym or to run. I really believe that that's true. At least for me personally. I mean, maybe it's not like that for everybody, but I think that's a big part of it.
I think it also plays into how I feel about myself. Like, I feel better. I feel better about who I am when in doing this. It really does come down to that. Like, I feel much better about who I am. And it's a very personal thing. And I feel so much prouder of myself and much more invested in my well-being. And I feel like a better person.
Just personally, just for who you are?
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess, I don't know, I had never thought of it that way. I think, and maybe that's just because it's such a different accomplishment, right? Mm-hmm. From what you do, you know, professionally and even as a single parent. Because it is something, yeah. It's something that even if you run in a group, it's still for you.
It's for me.
Right? And it's one of the only things that is truly just for the self. Right?
Right. And it is, it's like, okay, so it's a goal that I have set for myself and it's a goal that I have kept and I continue to accomplish it. It's something that I continue to accomplish again and again and again. And I think that's what it does for me. It's like, I've set this goal and I've accomplished it. Each week I go twice a week and I've done this run and I, you know, I've got a 16-mile run ahead of me and I did it. You know, it's the completion of it. It's like, I feel better about myself.
That part I get. I mean, you do the longer runs, so you do twice a week. I do shorter runs and I run 4 days a week. I try to run, you know, two days during the week, and then I try to run Saturday and Sunday. And like every week that's successful, you know, when I get home from my fourth run of the week on Sunday, I feel amazing that I set those four runs and I kept them. Mm-hmm. You know, I kept them, you know, even if Lexton's home, I kept them if the weather's bad. I did it. And I think that's a big part of it. And maybe that's it. Maybe half of this is just the psychological game, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I think I need the psychological game because life, especially now that it's just me and everything is crunched, I need that psychological whatever chemical it releases in my brain to do this and to juggle all of these things, that there's some chemical in my brain that's being released by the exercise that is like helping me cope and helping me still do this again and again, like get up and okay, it's still me doing this again every day, in and out, again and again and again.
Yeah, it's like a survival tactic.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of what it ends up being. But how do you, you know, you said you like to run in the morning, like mm-hmm. ideally, if you could have it anyway. And I'm kind of the opposite. I used to think that I was a morning runner. And then I've realized that, you know, like late afternoon or early evening is sort of better for me. I seem to run faster. I feel better after my runs. But how do you work this? You know, if morning is your ideal time, but you have no choice but to do these long runs, you know, in an, I guess, an off peak time, how do you do that? I mean, how do you adjust to that?
I just do.
That could basically be the slogan for everything, I guess.
I just do it. It's like when I get to mile 12 and I want to stop and I know I have 4 more miles to go, I just keep going. It's just, I drop my kids off from school and I either go to the gym or I run. That's my schedule. And yeah, again, it's the psychological, well, I'm going to go do it. Even though I would have gotten 4 miles in, like at 6 o'clock, it would have been a better 4 miles. But, you know, this is the reality. I don't have that luxury of getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and going and doing that.
Yeah. So it's just making the best of the time that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. And that, it's hard too when you know, especially, I hate running in the dark. So early morning and evening runs are, well, at least in the Midwest right now, are in the dark. So even if I was able to fit them in, it's kind of out of my comfort zone, I guess. I don't really want to wear a headlamp and a bunch of flashing gear.
Oh gosh, I hate carrying things.
I do too.
I had to carry water on the 16-mile run and I wanted to throw it constantly.
You don't have any of those cool like hip water bottle things that go on the waistband?
Well, I did, and then I gave it away thinking I wasn't ever going to run again, and then now I'm running and I have these, I had been given these 2 water bottles that have the little hand grip things.
Oh yeah.
My gosh, I'm really Southern in this episode.
You are super Southern.
They have these little
Southern
hand grip things. And I was so mad because it was heavy. It was full of water, but it was like making me off balance because I was holding it in my right hand and it was like my whole stride was off. And then, so I would take a gulp, and every time I took a gulp, I wanted to throw the water bottle. Like, I have overwhelming urge to throw it at someone.
But it's strapped on your hand anyway, right? Yes. That's probably why that's like that.
I know that people have strategies for longer runs where they, like, stash water bottles, or they stop at 7-Elevens, you know? I may end up doing that, but...
Do they really?
Anyway,
like, they incorporate that into the run?
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea. I hadn't even considered that.
Someone just told me about that today where they were like, yeah, you should go on this, you know, start here and go there. And I'm like, well, how much I need to have to carry water? And they're like, oh, no. You just stop into a 7-Eleven and buy a Gatorade. I was like, this is a thing, I guess.
It makes sense. I mean, I hate carrying things, but I am the guy that carries his phone because I don't have an armband thing.
You carry your phone in your hand?
Yeah, so I switch every mile. So my stride is kind of like always off balance. Because I feel like when you have to grip something, like it throws off one whole side, right? Because you've got to grip it. So, you know, I'll hold it in my right hand, and then at, you know, 1 mile in, I switch hands, and then, you know, another mile, I switch. It's awful, and I need to get, you know, an armband for it.
I have a band that goes around my waist, really? And I put it in there.
Like a separate band specifically for the phone?
Yes.
Does it work well?
It holds, not only holds the phone, but it also holds...
what are you...
I haven't even, like, usually I only slip into this accent when I've talked to my mom or I've had something to drink.
I'm thinking
neither of which has happened today.
You just got a glass of bourbon.
I know. So it holds my phone, and then it holds... like, it holds salt pills, it holds goos, it holds, like, credit cards. Yeah. It's basically like a purse around my waist.
Oh, that, yeah, I could use that. I hate holding it. When I run and it's colder, I wear pants and they have zipper pockets, so I'm able to, you know, stick the phone in there.
Yeah.
But otherwise...
This has now become a running podcast.
It will be. We're not going to stop. It's just going to keep going. Hopefully you've got another 8 miles ahead.
I got to move because my butt hurts. Hold on. Ow. This setup in here. I gotta get a bigger pillow.
In your makeshift recording studio?
Yes. In my closet, surrounded by all of my Stitch Fix clothes. They did not pay me to say that.
It's just the reality of the closet.
Yes.
Well, I wonder, you know, I think it's hard as a single parent to fit this in as a single parent who works full time but with the flexibility of working from home, right? It's hard to fit it in.
It cuts in on work. It cuts in on leisure. It cuts in on the ability to maintain friendships.
Right. It cuts into everything.
It cuts into everything.
Because it's something that we prioritize, I guess, is really what it amounts to. You know, we could decide not to run and go to lunch instead. And I'm not faulting anyone for doing that. It's just you decide what works for you. You do you.
You do you.
See? It's perfect.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Hashtag.
Hashtag blessed.
So the question, though, is, you know, I'd like to know, you know, how our listeners fit exercising into their daily schedules, whether they work from home with kids, whether they, you know, have an hour commute each direction and a 10-hour day, et cetera. You know, I'd love to hear the tips and tricks and hacks that they've come up with to make exercise a regular part of their life. So please, you know, whatever you can share with us, feel free to email us at stories@manicramblings.com. And we will share some of our favorites in a future episode.
Yeah, and if you would like to learn more about the organization that I am running with for the Boston Marathon, where I'm guiding a runner, you can find links to the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired and Team with a Vision at manicramblings.com.
And finally, you can find out more about us and this podcast at manicramblings.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings.
And until next time, get off your ass. Go running. And I am so sorry for my belly rumbling. Oh my gosh. It's seriously like it needs its own podcast. It is screaming.
It's going to have
its
own.
I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry all the time. I can't describe it. That's the thing that I dread the most.
We'll just eat for the next episode. We'll just both be eating. And talking about eating.
You should see there's not a salad big enough that I can't just destroy. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
No, really, I was sitting at dinner in D.C. I'm just going to keep going. I was sitting in dinner with D.C. with four women, my colleagues. And they're all, you know, they're very... very delicately eating their meals like, you know, a civilized human being. And I monsterized my meal. Like, I couldn't get the food into my face fast enough. I was so hungry.
Like, and
shoveling it into my face. And I think one of my friends was trying not to notice. She was being polite about it. And I finished way before everybody else. And I was eyeing everybody else's food. This is like a side effect of this. Like, I cannot satisfy the hunger. I don't know.
But you're way ahead of me in that department. I need to figure out the diet component of it. I mean, I can eat, but I don't eat the right things. I can do things to a bag of potato chips that nobody needs to see happen. it's not pretty.
Yeah, come to the vegan side. Come to the dark side.
We'll see.
I will not get into my veganism, I promise. Don't worry about it.
That's coming up, though.
Maybe.
I don't think I've eaten meat for 3 days, so hey. You know, it's a start.
Good influence on you. Okay.
It's true.
We're really going to go now. Really are going to go. Okay. And I'm going to go do something about this accent.
You got to do something about the accent. You got to eat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Goodbye, y'all.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff. Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.